day. It'll be a short sermon, I can assure you. And I have some assistance today. I'm not going to preach this by myself. I need Phoebe. Where are you, Phoebe? Phoebe, come on up here. And Thayer and Janie. I'm going to get y'all lined up right here. This is just like LTC times right here. All right. Let's see. Who's going first? Phoebe, I think you're going first. I'll tell you when. And Thayer and Janie, I'm going to tell y'all when. Now, y'all going to help me preach a sermon here, okay?
Okay. All right.
So you thought this leadership training for Christ stuff, LTC stuff, it was just for fun there at the hotel, but no, we do this stuff here. You get to help me preach. All right. I want you to think of a role of a father when you hear these words from Scripture from Phoebe. She has two scriptures for us. Go ahead, Phoebe.
Okay. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
All right. Thank you, Phoebe. Thayer, if you'll step up to the mic and help us out here. Think of Joshua's role as a father when he speaks these words to his fellow Israelites. Thayer?
Okay. Joshua 24, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Thank you, Thayer. And now think of the blessing of your children, fathers, as you hear these words from David as he penned the Psalms.
Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them.
Amen. Give these kids a hand. There you go. Good job. Thank you very much. All right. Father's Day. Fatherhood. What's it all about? How do we define it? It's kind of a tough question if you really sit down to think about it, to define fatherhood, I mean. What are the qualities that make a good father? It's something that we should all think about and something that young men especially should think about more than they do. I know that I should have thought about it more than I did when I was a young man. But God has a way of helping us to think about it. And as we get started this morning, let me say this. When we think about Father's Day, we have to be honest. We have to be careful in our time, as we talk about fathers, to be aware, to be sensitive that there are many people who do not have a lot of positive feelings stirred up when they think about Father's Day, when they see the Father's Day commercials on TV or the radio, when they see all the Facebook posts about fathers. They don't have a lot of good memories, many people don't, positive feelings and memories about their fathers. And that's because some fathers missed out on the blessing of fatherhood. Some fathers skipped out on the blessing of fatherhood. And so if you're listening to this message this morning and if you identify with those words, let me say this to you. God is your ultimate father. Jesus is your brother. Come alongside you. And I've observed in many cases in what I'm talking about here in the life of the church that God is faithful to bring godly father figures into the lives of people whose fathers did not, or in some cases could not, stand up to the plate of fatherhood. I've seen many Christian men step up to the plate to be a father to those in the church who need it. We have many men in this church who have done that very thing. It's one of the wonderful aspects of church life. But with all that said, what is a father? I think of a father as a guide. I think of a father as a friend, a source of strength. Certainly, I think of a father as a protector. A father is a counselor. A father is a source of wonderful life experience for his kids. A Christian father is a spiritual leader of his family. He follows Christ and he gives his children a flesh and blood example of what it is to love God and to follow Him. And when I think of fatherhood, I cannot but help but think of my own father, my dad. When I think of my dad, I think of many things. One of the first things that always comes to my mind is the fact that he is the strongest man, physically strongest man that I've ever personally known.
He may not look like it now, but I can assure you, when he was in his 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, he was the strongest man I've ever personally known. In his younger years, his power and strength simply amazed me. My dad, after hauling hay all day long, and I don't mean hauling hay the easy way like they do it now with the big round bales in which the tractor does it all, but hauling hay all day long, 70 and 80 pound bales.
He did that a lot. I would cut firewood with my dad, and I was always amazed at the incredible large pieces that he could palm with his hand as we cut firewood. He would have the axe in one hand after we cut all the wood up. He would have the axe in one hand, and he would palm huge, massive pieces of wood and carry them to the chopping block to split. And then when he wasn't watching, I would try to do the same thing. I would try to pick up these pieces of wood with one hand, and it never worked. I didn't want him to see me fail at that, but I could never do it like he could do that. It was a great source of great disappointment for me at times. But young men always hit that stage where they start feeling competitive with their dads. It just seemed like that if dad could get his hands on something or his arms around something, that there was nothing that he could not pick up or move. So behind his back, you know what I would do? Behind his back on the farm, I'd go around trying to pick up stuff that I watch him pick up. When he wasn't watching, just picking up stuff. How would you like to do that, guys, for fun? Just walk around trying to pick up stuff. But I did that, just trying to be like him, see if I could be as strong as he was, but I wasn't. He blessed my dad with an uncommon physical power and strength. And as a child, I thought dad's physical strength was the main quality of manhood and fatherhood, and I wanted to be like him. But it would be later on in life, however, when I would begin to think about other qualities of dad that he exhibited that better define fatherhood. Because after all, I mean, think about it. There are men that we know that are not, for many reasons, just not physically that strong, but are great fathers. So I begin to think more deeply about fatherhood and the example my dad was and is to me. But it wouldn't be until I got older and began to take on the responsibility of being a husband and a father myself that I would begin to appreciate other qualities of my dad, not just his physical strength, but his inner strength. His inner strength. His strength to endure hardship. My dad didn't graduate from high school. He had to take whatever jobs he could get. They were always dirty jobs. They were usually dirty jobs, the oil field, for example. He did a lot of oil field work for many years. Along with ranching. He always loved ranching, but he had to do something on the side. But he always had dirty, hard, long hours in the sun, in the cold, in all types of weather. And he never quit. He never walked off of a job. You know what he would tell me? He would say, "Son, a father doesn't have the luxury of walking off of a job. You got to stick it out." And I've thought of that many times in my job when it would get stressful and I feel like just giving up. I've thought of my dad, how he didn't push a pen or hit keys on a keyboard. He was picking up objects all day long that weighed 80, 90, 100, 150 pounds all day long in the heat. And he never gave up. He never walked off. In fact, when they offered him a second shift, when somebody would call in sick or wouldn't come in, dad would take it. He had a lot of inner strength and still does. Another thing about my dad that impacts me today is he was faithful to apologize. He was faithful to apologize when he needed to apologize. My dad's personality was as big as his strength and body. And so he could overpower you with his words in a discussion. He would. He was just one big ball of intensity. And
he could overpower you. And he would realize, and in seeing you back away, he would realize, oh my goodness, I've overpowered him, or my sisters, or my mom. And he would just, almost in tears, he would not stop apologizing until he knew it was okay. My dad was very faithful in that way, to apologize and to soften when he knew that he had been too hard. Now let me take a short rabbit trail here. Do you ever remember telling your parents how much better things are going to be when you're married and have a family? You ever tell your parents that? Hey Dad, when I have a family, things are going to be such and such a way. You ever say that? Now as a parent, if you think carefully about that, you'll know from observation, you'll know that this usually happens when your kids are told to do chores. I remember how John Stephen, he's not here so I could pick on him, how John Stephen would often say as he was cleaning the kitchen, when I have a family, the kitchen isn't going to get dirty like this. And I'd start thinking, well, there you go with that mythical family of yours. If only it were that easy. It was amazing. It's been amazing how my own perspective about fatherhood has changed, and how my respect for good fathers has grown as I've had more children. From one child to two children to three children. Nothing will humble you like being a father. Nothing will humble you like being a father. Maybe that is what the Catholic Church means when it calls marriage a sacrament. I know those are strange words to us. The sacrament is a fancy word for saying that God sends special kinds of grace through certain physical conduits in this life. With family life and fatherhood in particular, I think we need a certain kind of grace. Don't we, Richard?
Yes.
We need a certain kind of grace. Richard knows what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
He spoke this language a lot in his ministry. Yeah. We need a certain kind, a special kind of grace from God in order to be faithful and endure through the long haul of fatherhood. And with that thought, it was my other father, Richard, Becky's dad, that God would send in my life to teach me some additional things that I needed to know. And Richard's here today, and he didn't know I was going to make him a part of the sermon. But there are some things that need to be said. I'm not going to tell my whole testimony here because most of you have heard it. But suffice it to say that spiritually speaking, my life had been a mess when I met Richard. It was Richard's church in Denton that had the Fry Street ministry that I've spoken of, that God used in my life in such a powerful way to bring me back in relationship with Christ. And because I'd left God in so many ways for several years. And I had done so for the most part through my own stupid thinking. I thought I was so smart as a young psychology major, thinking my deep thoughts, I thought, about the human condition. And in my experience, I created my own little customized spirituality that allowed me to believe that all paths are equal and that all paths lead to God. Well, I'm not the only person who's ever done that, by the way. I'm leaving so much out, but I began to attend Richard's church and to listen to his preaching. And I can't tell you how transformative, and that's the purposeful, intentional word there, how transformative it was for me to hear Richard's preaching. One of Richard's specialties in his ministry was preaching and teaching what is known as the cross life. I heard so many wonderful life-changing sermons on what it means to lay down your flesh and to let Christ live and reign through us. So many of Paul's writings began to come alive in me. I began to understand what it meant when Jesus says that we're to take up our cross and to follow him. But just the idea
that we are, as Paul said, to allow our flesh to be crucified and to allow Christ to live and reign on the throne of our hearts. That thought began to consume me as a result of Richard's ministry and listening to those sermons week in and week out. And as I grew in Christ, Richard began to recognize that God was also working in my life to be a preacher, and he began to help me develop that calling in my life as well. I spoke a minute ago about how God uses things in this life and people on this earth to pour added grace into our lives. Sometimes we can receive something because we don't use the buzzword, see? To pour added grace into our lives. Conduits of His grace. I can say without a doubt that without the grace that God sent me through bringing Richard into my life, I would not be standing here giving this sermon today. Not to mention that he let me marry his daughter. What a wonderful father and grandfather Richard is, an example of generosity and love. Always has and is to this day and always will be, I know. You know, I began this sermon with trying to define fatherhood. It's not exactly an easy definition to pin down. I believe it would be true to say that fatherhood can be summed up in one word, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. I learned so many things from my father that have shaped me into who I am, and I've learned so many things from Becky's father that are with me this day. But the last thing that I want to talk about that I learned and am learning from both of these men is this: finish strong. Finish strong. That's something I would like to tell every young man. I wish I could take every young man and spend 30 minutes or an hour with them, telling them what it means to finish strong. For most fathers, the hardest part seems to be when the kids are little. Can I get an amen? I'm somehow looking at Joe in this. I don't know. When the kids are little, Dad often feels like if he could just make it past the hard work of raising the little kids, then the real job is done. But it's not done. I'm sorry, Joe. It's not done. Our kids need us for different things as they go through life. A dad has to change. A dad has to change as his kids are changing. That requires a relationship. That a relationship that isn't stale or stagnant, but it requires the willingness to move along with our kids as they grow and change, and to be there for them as they attempt to navigate the difficult teen years and the young adult years. Not to try to do it for them, but to be there for them. And that never stops. And we make a lot of mistakes along the way. And sometimes we feel like we've really blown it. But this is where prayer and your primary relationship comes in, your relationship with Christ. Humbly walking with Christ through your life and being there for your family as they need you. That's the key. Being faithful to pray for your children and to seek the Lord's wisdom regarding your children is most important. There are times when we feel like a failure. There are times in which we feel like getting out of the race entirely. But both of my fathers have taught me to resist that temptation and to stay in the race and to finish strong. I want to leave you with a video, I think, that illustrates this point. Tim, Joe, if y'all could help me out with this. Get the sound up for us, too, if you would. I would title this video, Finish Strong. We're going to watch a couple of minutes of it.
And here he is right now, preparing for the race in which he is the favorite.
in the 1972 Olympic Games.
Here he is right now preparing for the race in which he is the favorite. Like the man who won the 100 meters, he is from the Ukraine. In lane two, we're going to have Dieter Fromm of East Germany, another very strong runner. In lane three, Dave Waddle with the golf cap from the United States. Next to him in lane four, Robert Uko of Kenya. All of these men could win the gold medal. Then we have Andy Carter of Great Britain. He also a very strong runner. Franz Josef Kepler, the veteran from West Germany, on home ground. And Mike Boyk, the surprise from Kenya. And on the outside, we have Kupchik the Pole, two laps around. They run in lanes for the first 100 meters, and then they'll break. Boyd is looking strong again at the moment already. On the inside, we have Arjanov. Arjanov in the lead as they break, but Boyd on the outside is going for the lead right now. Uko, the other Kenyan, on the inside, and Waddle is way back exactly where he was in the semifinals.
We don't know right now whether he's just trying to stay out of trouble. It'll be a few more 100 yards before we know if Dave is seriously injured or really just logging back to stay out of trouble. He's not too bad because it was quite a fast pace through that first 200 meters. And as we said, here go the Kenyans charging for the lead, coming up to the bell lap, Boyd and Uku.
Okay, right with us, Andy Carter of Great Britain, Dieter Fromm of East Germany. Those are the four right now. They're on the bell lap. The split is 52.3.
If Dave could just pull up here and get on the outside of Arjanov, he would have him boxed in perfectly. Let's hope Dave makes a move down this back stretch.
The Kenyans running like a mirror reflection of each other. In first and second, Fromm
there
right
goes.
There with him.
There's Arjanov from the Soviet Union going up to the lead now.
There goes Arjanov, the favorite, taking the lead. Dave Waddle is making his bid. He's not in too bad position right now.
I think Dave's in great position on this. At this point, he's in perfect position on the outside. Good striking distance for this last 100, 200 meters.
Stand by for the kick of Dave Waddle. If he's got it, he could make it. But he's going to catch Arjanov and the Kenyan. And here he comes.
Thank you, Tim. That's enough. Thank you.
He came up with two bad knees.
Sometimes we feel like we're in last place. We got no hope. We feel like jumping out of the race. God's telling us to finish strong. He's with us. If you're here today and if you haven't started your race in Christ in this world, if you would like to become a Christian, if you would like to give your heart and life to our Lord Jesus Christ, what a wonderful day to do that. You'll have that opportunity right now as we stand and sing.
Amen.